Let's bow our heads and say, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Today, our eyes view Jesus as the Caesar himself. He is glorified and we are edified. There is no error in our minds and in the atmosphere. Clearly, comes to our mind and heart. Okay, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? So we said, when John writes and says, in the beginning, and then that word comes to play a key. In the beginning, when he says, in the beginning, it follows that pattern of the didache of scriptures to start from the beginning. We look at Jesus. Look at Luke 24, verse 25. It says, all full slow have to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Say, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. It says, beginning at Moses. You see, there's that pattern of sound of they say beginning at Moses. But before these are the words that I spoke to while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses. So Jesus gives us that pattern of doctrinal explanation. He says it always starts from Moses. That is the pattern of systematic explanation of the scriptures from Moses. So that is Akemosaos, which is Moses becomes the beginning of writing in scriptures. Moses becomes the beginning, Genesis. Hallelujah. So last week we were going through how the word archaic was used, right? Last week, how the word was used all through scriptures. And many a times, and we saw the different shades of that word. You can have words like before the foundations of the earth.
And we said you are not looking out for before the beginning began, that is before Genesis. What's happening?
Hallelujah. Now, I said we are not looking out for Genesis. I mean, before Genesis, when you hear a key, which is in beginning. Though it when you hear foundations of the word, before the foundations of the word, if you look at it very well, it's all referencing what? Genesis. Hallelujah. So Genesis becomes for us beginning. Now when you look at that word a key, which is beginning. It also, you know, I told us in the last two sections, this is section 5, right? Section 5. So I told us in the last two sections, and also last session, that the original text of scripture is where? Hebrew, right? So when the writers of the epistles are writing, they are writing and their textbook will be the 39 books, right? Genesis to Malachi. That is their textbook. Do you get? That becomes their textbook. That is, they are writing from there. They are explaining from there. But in their explanation, you now discover that they will have to do a lot of diamenu. They have to explain language. Because language over time has changed. Right? What the language that is now common in their world, in their epistles, is the Greek language. Do you understand? But they will have to cross that barrier, that language barrier, from the Hebrew to the Greek. Do you understand me? But whatever thing that they wrote in Greek, they were interpreting what? The language from the Hebrew. So Hebrew becomes the original word. And that word, beginning, if we get down to Genesis, when it says beginning, is the word roshit, or the word roshit. Yeah. It's a word that is not, that word is not used for beginning without nothing. No. It is for a beginning which from something, but it's something we get to explore as the day goes by, not necessarily this year or next year. Maybe next year, but not necessarily this year. But you discover that word beginning is not like from scratch or from nothing. No, I will even say in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you now look at that word beginning, you now discover that you're actually saying, when it says the beginning has to do with God. I follow you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, whenever the writers now reference beginning, they are referencing Genesis. Foundation of the word Genesis. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So Genesis now becomes for us the beginning of writing in scriptures, the beginning for us. Hallelujah. So Jesus would now teach like that to show you that there is a format or there's a systematic way things can be will be understood all through scripture, and it will start from what? Genesis. Are you following me? To start from Genesis. So Genesis becomes for us the beginning. Hallelujah. So the beginning will be referencing what? We'll be referencing Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when I say in the beginning was the word, that is the word logos. 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 That is from the Hebrew word dabar. Dabar. Now the Hebrew word dabar, which is what we are, where we have logos, is not, logos does not mean just words, no. That word logos means a pre-plan. It deals with a thought pattern. Are you following me? It deals with a thought pattern. It's a pre-plan. It deals with a thought pattern. It's the reason for an action. Do you understand? Like a plan. Do you understand? A plan before it, before an action. A plan before an action. Do you get? So when you say the beginning was the word, meaning, can we say the beginning was the plan? Right? Hallelujah. So the plan was with God, and the plan was God. So if you look at it, is in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word points, which is logos prosios, which is the word points to God. That is to say, the word points to God can also be seen as the word is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we'll take it up from, we'll also look at some things along this line, maybe tomorrow as we get to stage on faith and healing. Hallelujah. That you see a building block as we progress. But you know, when it says, and the word was God, or the word is God, it tells you, that is John's hermeneutics telling you that, see, scriptures is theology. The word is God. That is, the plan is God from Genesis. I believe the plan is God. So that means that the word, the dabar, is God. I believe me. The word is God. The roshit is God. The beginning is God. I believe me. So what most, I mean, what John is writing to you is that theology or scriptures is theology. You can't separate scriptures from theology. It is God's story. I believe it. It's God's story told among the activities of men. So what you will find man's activity, you find man's language, but in all this you'll find what? God's story told. God's story of deliverance, God's story of intervention, God's story of salvation, God's story of life from the dead. I believe you find God's story in all of it. So you have to read from the Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we now say, now when John now writes and now tells you, you know, John now writes and says, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So that word in the beginning now became flesh. Remember, before he got to that verse 14, he had told you that word, the writers or the prophet bore witness of that word. So that word now became a message. Are you following me? It's not a message. So remember, it's a pre-plan, it's not a message. Do you understand me? It's not a message. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why would John write that for you to, why would John write it like that? John writes like that for you to see that, see, theology can only be known in Christology. That this will, remember, this will be John's hermeneutics. That's what you see all through scripture. That the word is God. That the Son is God. All true. Did you see that? That is what John writes. For you to see that. Glory to God. Are you following me? So, and all of Jesus's miracle that John will record will point to this same fact that what? He's God. So you are following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at verses 31 or verses 30 of John 20. He said, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that is, all the miracles John wrote was deliberate. These were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and in believing you may have life in his name." Did you see that? That is his hymnotic right from verses 1 of chapter 1. Are you following that? Are you following that? So he said, "And the word became flesh and do what? Tabernacled amongst us." Did you see that? Tabernacled amongst us. He says, "And tabernacled amongst us." So what John is writing for you to see that all the words of the prophets, all together, what we have as words in the mouth of the prophets now find their expression in the incarnation. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Now find their expression in the incarnation, and the word became flesh. Remember, the word is a pre-plan in verse 1. It became their message. Right? The prophet will not bear witness of God's plan. What is God's plan? Life of the dead. God's plan, salvation. Are you following me? Now the prophet will bear God's plan. Hallelujah. They will bear God's plan. And John now writes for you to understand that word, which is in their message, God's plan, right? Their message will not have a conclusion on where? The incarnation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrews also says that. He says, chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "God, who at sundry time and in diverse manner spoke in time past through the prophet, say, but in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things." Now, when you use the word heir of all things, it means heir of all the words of the prophets. So that means all the words of the prophets will find expression where? In the person of Christ. Are you following that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it was not something that they said lightly. It's something that they say fully. Peter too will bear the same witness. He says, "You take heed as unto a light." That should be 2 Peter 1 from verse 18. He says, "As unto a light, who shineth in a dark place." You see that? He says, "No prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men spoke as were moved by the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. Say, he calls it a light that shines in a dark place. He said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, that ye take ye unto it as unto a light." Did you see that? That shines in the dark place. Say, "To the day dawn." He uses the word, "Take it as unto a lamp." That's the word light. That word light is the word lutros, which is a lamp. I call it a lamp light. And that, how does it describe the prophet of old? It describes them as what? Lamp. He described their kind of light as what? Lamp. So that's what he's saying here. He said those prophets, he said they are light that shines in the dark places. Did you see that? Hallelujah. That shines in the dark places till the day dawn. For Peter to say till the day dawn, it shows you that there's a progression. Are you following me? There's a progression, meaning it gets brighter. Do you get that? The revelation becomes progressive in the Old Testament. Are you following me? It becomes progressive till the day dawn. So the use of, when you use it to the day dawn, it shows that there will be a progression. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So to the day dawn, and the day star arises in your heart. So when you use the word day star arises in your heart, it talks about the incarnation. So meaning the words of the prophets will be progressive from Moses, it will be progressive, and it will find its fulfillment in the person of Christ. So that incarnation becomes an explanation. Are you following me? Which John, in John 1:18, will now say, "No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So when he calls him the only begotten Son, when he uses the word Son, you have to understand the Father. When he says Son, he's not referring to, he has to give birth to him with his stomach. No. Are you following me? So remember, I have told us before, I'm still saying it again, that the reason for Jesus in the incarnation is the reason why he's called the Son of God. That incarnation is the reason why he's called the Son of God. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the Son of God. So the word Son is the word we use, or from the Hebrew, is the word Ben. Or Ben. But the word Ben. B-E-N. Ben. And it's used for one who carries on one's existence. One's existence. He carries on one's existence. Are you following me? So, or that carries on one's existence, one's duty, one's responsibilities. Are you following me? So, when he says Jesus is the Son, it shows that this is God. Hallelujah. But this time in the flesh. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. So that incarnation said the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. That's what Exegomai. He has declared. So means he explained what he is part of. That is, we said is a personal explanation of what you are involved in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chelsea versus Real Madrid game. You know, a Man U fan that is watching it will never call. You are watching on TV. You say, I watched it live. No matter how live you watched it, you know, your explanation of that game can never be called Exegomai. Are you following me? Zidane's explanation of that game can never be called Exegomai. Do you get me? It is the guy that can save your relationship. It is his own expression that can be called Exegomai, which is who? Mendy. You know, he can save anything, including your relationship. Save your life. He saved your. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the one. Grow with that. Not like some that sacked their manager and he came back to haunt them. Amen. I never said anything. Glory to God. So Exegomai will be, this is what I'm part of. I'm explaining it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For those of you who took out time to see Carrie back Berlin after Chelsea won, I'm coming for you with full chest. Hallelujah. It's wickedness. It is witchcraft. Hallelujah. I'm coming for you. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go in this part of the world that they use witch to kill people. When you see your brother progressing, so you to see that England has gone forth. No, you are fighting evil. Some people started saying they've only won semi-final, they've not won final. What else can be called evil? Well, you know,
just like your plan of Haman against Mordecai was done to Haman. You see, we planned against Mordecai.
There's only one king in England.
And who is it?
No, that was a mistake. Glory to God. She's never read. You need to try to always pull them now. Because things will catch up with them. Where were we before we got here? So, Exegomai. So, Jesus. When he says the only begotten Son, now he's referring to the incarnation. So he has explained it. If that, what that shows you is the fact that that incarnation itself is an explanation. So that means you will find in Jesus' words, actions, the explanation of God. God is explained in his words and actions. John 14, 4 verse 9. From verse 12. He answered Philip and said, Philip, have I been with you this long and you don't know the Father? Say, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So the Father is unveiled or is revealed in Christ. Are you following me? So God is revealed in Christ. Or you can also put Jesus reveals God to us. Are you following me? Jesus reveals God to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the revelation of God is in Christ. So all the words of the prophet will find their expression in him. You know, when he was asked in Matthew 15, he says, I've not come to destroy the law and the prophets. This is that, but I've come to what? Fulfill it. That word fulfill is the word paneru, right? Hallelujah, to fulfill it. To fulfill there means, that word paneru means to paneru. Is actually the word that implies to explain. The root word is actually to explain it. So when Jesus, what Jesus has done is that he came to explain it. So in his incarnation, you'll find God explained. In Jesus' character, in his words, in his actions, you'll find the explanation of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also, he said, I've come to explain it, to fulfill it. In the resurrection, that word is used again, phanero, in Luke 24:44, all things must be fulfilled. And that fulfillment, he now taught them. Are you following me? Eh? You are struggling to understand it because you know you don't be consistent with the fast. Are you? This is not what is mine. Oh. This one, if you mind it, it's a flash. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is to sweet you. Hallelujah. You're going to fast. She's actually Hallelujah.
Amen.
This time you just need to calm down. Learn it well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. That's it. I didn't say anything. I just flew by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Okay, where were we? See, I'm expected. Where were we?
You find the explanation of God in Jesus' words.
Okay, yeah. So you find it in Jesus' words and actions, right? So I went down to Luke 24. So in that resurrection, what he now did for in the 40 days was that he now explained. So that means, listen, he now explained the whole scriptures. So that means that resurrection in itself is an explanation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And remember, the resurrection was indicated the incarnation. Are you following me? So anything you find in the incarnation as the character and person of God was because Jesus resurrected. Are you following me? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Because he resurrected. So it now becomes the fact, and then we cannot say God is explained in Christ's incarnation and resurrection. Right? So I said this in the beginning, but from section 1 up to now, I have now shown why I say it's explained in Christ's incarnation and resurrection. Are you following me? Hmm? In the incarnation, because the incarnation is an explanation. Also in the resurrection, he explained. So that means the resurrection is an explanation. If you go through, we looked at John 2, that there were a lot of things that they didn't really understand until the resurrection. In John 2:21, when Jesus said, destroy this temple and I'll build it in 3 days, you know, they couldn't understand that until the resurrection. Hallelujah, they couldn't understand that because it was in the resurrection that their eyes were opened to see. In the resurrection, Jesus will bring back the story of the temptation, right? Will bring back, and why did he tell the story of the temptation? So that they will now see that what the Pharisees were doing was actually fulfilling what scriptures. Hallelujah. They came to tempt him. Are you following me? That is what happened. He will tell them the story of the woman at the well for a reason. He will tell them the story of the guy, of the brother on the cross with him for a reason. Are you following me? It's for a reason. So the resurrection now becomes that explanation. So when Jesus now says to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets, as we say, of not the Christ, to suffer this and to enter into his glory. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, they expanded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Meaning Jesus now went through all the scriptures and was showing them these things concerning himself as regards the resurrection. The Bible now says in verse 33, saying, he now replied, 13:33, he said, did our heart burn within us? That means what Jesus did was that he took them back again, showed them the narrative from the prophet, explained the words of the prophet concerning the resurrection, and now they can now see it. Hallelujah. I believe it. Their heart was now open. This heart born within us. In verse 45, he says, and he opened it, the understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. That is, that word comprehend was cinema, to bring facts and events together to their day. So, what was happening when Jesus was teaching, they were now relating it. Hallelujah. They can now relate it. Oh, that event too. The word Suleiman means to bring facts, events, words together. Hallelujah. To see it in the light of what it means. So they can now see it. But that means what Jesus did within the 40 days was that he took them back again. So they will have to go and reread the whole testament. Hallelujah. And I say we also have taken on that journey. To reread the Old Testament. But this time, we're not just reading the Old Testament. Even if we know, and I've told you that the Old Testament is not hidden. The Old Testament book, which is the 39 books, is not hidden. It's not called Mysterion because it is hidden. No, it's called Mysterion because it is in need of explanation. The heart of man hid it. Are you following me? So it's Mysterion because we now need to explain it. And glory to God. But why is it hidden? Why is it called Mysterion? Because it's man's heart that hides the word of God. We just say it in Luke 24. Hallelujah. Because even in the Old Testament, which is the 39 book, we have people who believe. Abraham believed. Hallelujah. Nathanael read only the 39, Nathanael and Philip in John 1, 42 and 45. They read only the 39 books and they knew that Jesus was the Christ. Are you following me? When Jesus said in Matthew 16 to verses 13, when he said to Peter, this was revealed to you not by flesh and blood. He said, but by my Father. When he said by my Father, it does not mean Peter saw a vision of God saying, this Jesus is the Son of God or Jesus is the Christ. No. When he said, but it was revealed to you by my Father, is an explanation of Scripture. Do you see that? And when you go back to John 1, 42, 45, you discover that it is an explanation of Scripture. So they were aware. Even the Pharisees now ask, whose son will the Messiah be? Do you get it? So those questions shows you that, see, explanation of, for if you read the scriptures together, you discover a scripture pointed to someone. Hallelujah, was writing concerning someone. There's a man in the picture. Look at the Ethiopian Enoch. You know, when the Ethiopian Enoch was reading the book of, just reading the book of Isaiah, you know, at a point when he was reading, and that we'll get to explore the book of Isaiah as we get into understanding the gospel. Do you get it? So when he was reading the book of Isaiah, he got to that point where he now asked Philip, he said, this writer, who is this speaking of? Is he speaking of himself or someone else? Why would he say that? Because Isaiah got to a high point. Do you get it? When he was writing about Jesus, he said, he takes away the sins of the world. So he got to the high point. Then when he now gets to 55, he now looks as if that same person, he now crashes it down. You know what I mean by high point? High point. And then catches it and now says, he was led as the sheep to the slaughter. I thought he's the king. Now he's not a servant. You see? So the Ethiopian Enoch got hooked there. He knew he's talking about someone. Now say, is this person, who is this writer speaking of? Is he of someone else or of himself? Are you following me? Hallelujah. It's expected. Because the king, the savior, now ended up being a suffering savior. Are you following me? Now he ended up being a suffering savior to die in the hands of men. Became a, do you know that? What kind of savior is this? What kind of a God is this? Aha, that is it. Are you following me? That is it. Because the mindset that everybody have about the Messiah was going to be a king, a conquering king that will conquer kingdoms. And so what Israelites were expecting was a new government. That will overthrow now, like they are not going to be the government of the world. Are you following? They're not going to be like the center seat of the world. Because at that day they had the Roman captivity. Maybe now we are going to have the Israelis captivity that are turned to shine, something like that. Yes, but now he's now becoming a sovereign king. Are you following? So it's what's happening here? That is it. Hallelujah. I'm going into understanding the gospel, but we'll get to explore this as we get to understanding the gospel. We'll look at all this together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So it's very important for you to see this. Amen. So Jesus will not take them back on that journey. They will have to reread the Old Testament books to now see that the temple that Moses built is not a physical temple. It's a physical temple, but Moses did it with an intention, hallelujah, to write about what? The heaven and the earth. Are you following me? God and man, God and man in the same place. See, let me tell you, when John saw Jesus, the first time he met Jesus, he didn't meet Jesus as God and man. He never knew that truth until when? The resurrection. I hope you know that. So when he died, and the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us, that is an eventual what? Interpretation of scripture after Jesus' resurrection. That means after the 40 days, he will now interpret, oh, this is the word became flesh. Why? Because their eyes have been opened. The entire heart born within us. So So they will have to do a re-reading to see that the Dabar in Genesis 1, who that is the heaven and the earth, has now taken place in John. Are you following me? So it's an eventual conclusion on Christ when scriptures are read together. How many of you are following what I'm saying here? Are you following me? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Let's move on. So, very important. So, we now said, so we have to reread. And in rereading, we began to answer a question on hardness of heart. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Right? Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? And we'll come to conclude. We saw it that, first of all, God's actions and inaction is seen as God being active. Right? Right? God's actions and inactions is seen as God being active, because in the Hebrew, the word there's no distinction. I don't want to use the word I am, because we'll look at that tomorrow. The word I is usually, okay, let me put it this way. The Hebrew word is usually silent. Put it, have it here. The word I am, is usually silent in many cases. Because the Hebrew word, the Hebrew language, the old Hebrew language, does not actually give room for the, does not give difference between a permissive and a causative verb. So it sees both the permissive and the causative verb as a causative verb. And we'll look at that example, right? If I say, if I come and I take, for example, Sassini, read on, I did the example last week. Now, give me the pen. Who gave me pen? Sin. Yeah? You gave me pen. It's causative, meaning you have to do that action of giving me the pen. It's causative. So if I'm the writer, I say, Sinny gave me the pen. Now your pen is here. And I took the pen. Who did? I did. So it's actually a permissive verb, because you were doing nothing, you were inactive, I take the pen. But the Hebrew will still call it, see me, give me the pen. Why? Because what I just said, right? Permissive and causative, there is no difference. So now why would they call see me, give me the pen? Because the pen belongs to see me and I took it. You know what I mean? So because that action was against, or was against see me, you know what I mean? It will still be said she gave me the pen. So there was no distinction between baby causative and the feminist. So that is why when you now read and see something like God hardened, you say, I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. No. It was not God that hardened Pharaoh's heart. We saw that, right? We also saw where it is read that Pharaoh hardened his own heart, right? But why will God then tell Moses, why will God then tell Moses that I will harden the heart of Pharaoh? Do you see that? Because no God telling Moses he will harden the heart of Pharaoh. Why? Because what Pharaoh did was against God, right? Unbelief. It's unbelief. Because what, when Moses went to meet Pharaoh, he was not going to go and sing your primary school rhyme. Go down, go down. You have the Pharaoh. Go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. He said, Pharaoh, you're going to go down, go down. Then you have to sing for Pharaoh. No. Hallelujah. Then when you get to Pharaoh, and say, Pharaoh! The God of the Hebrews said, let my people go. No. Hallelujah. No. That was not what happened. Hallelujah. We saw Samuel, right? Samuel said, it was unbelief, stiffness, like your father's, because of unbelief towards the gospel. So what Moses went to Pharaoh with was the gospel. Because the gospel, listen, remember, Moses is the one that wrote Genesis. He writes Genesis for you to see that the gospel is not a... Write Genesis, there's a read Moses' account together. You discover that Moses was never ever said the gospel is an Israelite gospel. No. Moses never made you believe that. If you have believed that and you think it was what Moses is writing, then you have believed in vain. Do you understand? Because Moses never writes for you to see that. When Moses wrote, when he's writing about the history of the Jews and he gets to Abraham, it makes you see that there's a Melchizedek who was not from what? From Israel. In fact, it makes you remember first see that Abraham was not Israel when he was called blessed. Genesis, and was not, it makes you see that when Abraham was, when Abraham was called, Abraham was not Israelite. Jonathan, but Abraham was called Hebrew because he crossed over. He was a foreigner. Amen. Amen. Hebrew means to cross water. Hallelujah. So he was Hebrew. He was a foreigner. Was not a believer. Jonathan, he was a... I've forgotten how Paul would put it. Jonathan, now, that is one. He now shows you that, okay, aside Abraham, who was justified by faith, was justified by faith. There's not another guy, Melchizedek. He says he's the king of Salem. We will now have the Jerusalem. Do you understand me? You know, Jerusalem was an eventual habitation gotten. It was not.
Am I going into this today?
Let me skip it for today. But Jerusalem was not actually part. They possessed Jerusalem. Let me just have it like that. That's that. Jerusalem was a location that was later possessed by the Israelites. So, listen to this. So, a king of Salem. Yes, sir. So that there's a king of Salem. He's called the priest of the Most High God. Do you see that? So that means that the gospel was not just resident with Abraham alone. Shall you get? I'm not going to Barak language. Shall you get? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Moses writes for you to see that. Moses writes again for you to see that, see, there is his in-law, his father-in-law, in person of, what is his name now? Jethro. Jethro is a priest. Not part of Israel, but he was called a priest. You see that? So it means that the gospel is not an Israeli gospel. Do you get? It's a gospel for the nations of the world. Are you following me? And yeah, you now read Exodus, I mean Numbers, and now said, my glory will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. So he tells you this is God's plan and purpose is for the whole earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1, he said, let them replenish the earth. So it's not an Israel gospel, it's not an Israelis gospel, it's a gospel for the whole earth. Are you following me? Are you following me? These are things you need to start seeing, because I've told us before that I heard it from Pastor Shego that location, geography is theology. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you following me? So, eventually, geography is theology. So, you see, when it's a global message, it has a global view, a world audience. So, when Moses got back to Egypt, and went to Pharaoh, his message to Pharaoh is what? The message of the gospel. I follow him. Concerning the God of the what? Of the Israelites. Hallelujah. So that message of the gospel will be Moses' messages he has been teaching that will be Moses' messages similar to what he has been teaching in Genesis. What he taught in Genesis. As Genesis rather. Are you following me? It will be Moses' sermon. Now when Moses came to Pharaoh with that sermon, remember the eventual result will be what? The children of Israel will have to come out to show God's salvation. Do you get? Are you following? The children of Israel will have to come out to show God's salvation. Then God now spoke ahead of time to Moses in the wilderness that I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Remember that? I will harden. It's not God hardening his heart. It's to show. Remember, hardness of heart, sclerocardia, scleruno in the Greek, will be used for what? Unbelief. Right? Say, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Remember, that I will be silent, to be a permissive word. So God is speaking ahead of time that was Pharaoh will be unbelieving. Pharaoh will not believe this message. That will be the hardness of heart. So God has prepared Moses' mind ahead of time that Pharaoh will reject the message. So at any point where Moses now I can say, and Pharaoh hardened his heart as the Lord has said. That means what God said is that Pharaoh will harden his heart. It's not God hardening Pharaoh's heart, but that hardness of heart, God will be mentioned because it is what? Against God's word. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.
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 So that is where we stopped. Was that where we stopped? Okay, something else. Let's see something else. In Genesis chapter 3.
Genesis 3.
Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Something else you need to see. And all that's good and perfect.
God's love you. You're the heart of my contentment, the hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You're the center of my joy, Jesus. You're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, the hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Hallelujah. Okay, John 3:15. You there? Genesis, sorry. I like John. Genesis 3:15. Okay, are you there? If you're there, read. Verse 15. It says, okay, verse 5 or verse 14. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat the dust, and you shall eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, listen, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. She shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. First of all, let me say something. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Now, you will see a modeling of words. Now, remember, what Adam and Eve did was against God, right?
Yes.
Right? The eating of the fruit is unbelief. Remember, to eat is used for belief or unbelief. Hallelujah. So, it's a tree of life. The man should not go to Adam more of life, no. When it's a tree of life, it has to do with a message. Hallelujah. It was a language that they remember. He said, we have to go back to that day, look at the language, and then do what a translation, right? Hallelujah. So when it says tree of life, it has to do with their language. And you understood it, the tree that gives life, that's what comes to mind. When it says tree of life, it talks about the tree that gives life. And you and I know that no tree gives life, right? So when a sentence is impossible, what is happening there? A figure of speech is intended. We've said that over and again, right? When a message is impossible, when a speech is impossible, a what? A figure of speech is intended. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. This now boils down to, I will put enmity. Let's check out that word enmity. Hallelujah. That is the word hatred. Eba in the Hebrew. Hallelujah. Now, in Numbers chapter 35 verse 61,
Numbers 35, 21. Let's see. Is it? I'll start from verse 18. It's like you see. Say, if he strikes him with a wooden, he's talking about refuge. He said, okay, some of us, he said, the avenger of the blood himself shall put the murderer to death. When he meets him, he shall put him to death. If he pushes him out of hatred, I mean, verse 20, Numbers 35, I'm 20. If he pushes him out of hatred, or while lying in wait, or something at him so that he dies, or in enmity he strikes him with his hand so that he dies, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He's a murderer. The avenger of blood the avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. Now, who was the word enmity used for? It's used for a man's action. You need to see that. In Ezekiel 25 verse 15 and 35 verse 5, is used for man's action. So that word enmity is used for man's action. Do you see that? Man's action.
Okay, let's put it like this. Now you further explain it. It's used for man's action that is not God's work. Do you get that? So when he said, well, yeah, I'll put enmity, remember he's giving a verdict from what has happened. I'll put enmity between you and the woman. It's not God's work. God doesn't put enmity. I follow you. So what then put enmity? Or what then put enmity between the seed of, I mean, between the serpent and the woman? What put enmity? Sin. Why? Was it not sin already happened? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Unbelief, right? I follow you. I follow me. So I'll put enmity, that phrase will be for sin. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. Hallelujah. Are you following me? And between our seed and your seed. So he's talking about, so it's not God that put enmity. That's what I'm showing you. That word I will is actually science in the Hebrew. Are you following me? That word I will put enmity between you and me is actually silent. It's not God that does that.
Are you following me? It's not God's action. But God is mentioned there because that unbelief of Adam and Eve was towards God. So it looks as if it was God that is putting enmity, but it's not God. Hallelujah. It's telling you about what sin does. Glory to God.
That is the result of sin, enmity. Hallelujah. And between your seed and us, he said, he shall bruise your head. Now this is God's own work. Did you see that? When you say he shall bruise your head, that is God's work. He will bruise your head. Now when he says that, what you have next is bad grammar. And he shall bruise the heel. It's actually bad grammar. Hallelujah. It's not, as the people say, see, when Jesus will bruise the head of the serpent, then the serpent will now start dealing with the believers as persecution. No. It's actually wrong. Hallelujah. Because the way that word heal is used in scripture is not used for, I believe it, it's not used for heal. It's actually a figurative expression to talk about what comes after. Are you following me? What that which comes after. So that is what you need to see. So when you use the word you bruise the heel, is the word you find 13 times, or let me call it, there are 13 times in Old Testament Hebrew. Hallelujah. It's used for that which comes afterwards.
Do you get it? So now what comes afterwards? Is that he will bruise the head of the serpent, which is what? See, right? We bruise the head, see, and what comes afterwards? So he will bruise his head and bruise the heel. So what comes afterwards is what? That is what Paul will now write in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and says, death weighs thy sting. Do you get that? Hallelujah. So you will deal with sin,
And he dealt with sin in the incarnational resurrection, right? Right? So, we're waiting for what? What are we waiting for? The exaltation of our bodies. Hallelujah. I believe the exaltation of our bodies. Then we can now say, do that way thyself. That is the event. That's what will happen afterwards. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So what has happened to our spirits when a man is saved will eventually happen to our bodies. Are you following me?
Are you following me? Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Okay. Let's go ahead. So that is very important. So it's good.
So where are we getting this narrative from? Remember I said we are reading backwards, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it's very, very important. Did that also show us Job? Job? Huh? Did that show us Job? Did we look at Job last time? That. We saw Job, right?
Yeah, we saw Job. Okay, we saw it. Yeah.
How Job felt God has taken all away what he has. But if you look at chapter 1, very well, you saw that the writer had already written for us to see that Satan was at the epic center of everything.
Hallelujah. To make you see that. And then I said, Satan is veiled in man's action. Was that what we said?
Right? Satan is veiled in man's action. Okay. Okay. So when you get to read the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, and you see, I will, is actually God silent in that verse. I will harden. No, God doesn't harden. But it's God actually speaking ahead of time of what he will do or what Pharaoh will do. Hallelujah. Pharaoh will not believe the gospel. Hallelujah. So it also will take us to something we'll yet look at tomorrow. But let's just look at it. Exodus 15 again, where you find God will do something that he never said. Exodus 15, verse 26. What he never said. We also saw this last week, right? Right? I guess we did. Did we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you look at it very well. It says, eventually look at that tomorrow too, but let's just look at it again. Verse 26, it says, Exodus 15 says, and if you diligently heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandment, and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I have brought on the Egyptian from the Lord that heals you.
He uses the calls, that word, and the Lord that heals you is the word Rapha. Hallelujah. The one who heals, used for a doctor, a doctor. Hallelujah. One who cures. Because I'm the Lord that heals you. But when there's not a disparity, is I'm the Lord that heals you, and I will put none of the diseases which I have brought upon the Egyptians. That is quite a tautology to say, what I will put none of the diseases which I brought, and yet to say, I am the Rapha. Did you see that? So does the Rapha impute or bring sickness and then takes it out? No. Because the Rapha will cure the sickness. We'll get to see that from tomorrow too. Hallelujah. So when he uses that word, I will put, that word is actually silence from what we said, right? It's silent. Glory to God. It's silent. It's God doing nothing. But because their rebellion was against God, hallelujah, so that self-destruct button was actually triggered, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, not God that actually imputes sicknesses on people, no. Are you following me? But what God does is that he heals. So he tells you God delivers, God saves. Do you get it? Hallelujah. Say, I will put none of, so that word, I will put none of, we can now read it as, I will not allow. That is better of you, right? I will not allow
the diseases which have come upon the Egyptians come upon you. Say, for I am the Lord that heals you. So that word Rapha is more of one who protects it from happening. So it's more of a defender. I follow you. Hallelujah. It makes it not to happen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. More of a deliverer. He will not allow it to happen. A protector. That is who God is. You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, we'll move ahead. So in the Old Testament books, which is the 39 books, I will find a lot of events where it was believed that God did. But we will look, we will have to go through the synoptic, right? I will go through the synoptic writings and the epistles to see if God truly was the one carrying out that act. Remember, we are reading the 39 books from where? From the where? From the four Gospels, for the sake of this class, the four Gospels and the epistles. I follow you. We are reading it. We are reading them backwards. So we are having a, how do they call, use that word? We are reading backwards. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So another place we'll have to investigate is Exodus 17 again. Exodus 17. Remember, we are looking at God's word, right? We are explaining from the four Gospels and the epistle. Exodus 17. Look at verses 14. The Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book of recount. In the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly, that word again, I will utterly blot out the remembrance of the Amalekite from under the heavens. I will utterly blot out. This is interesting. God blot out, God killed. What does it show you? Remember we said, yes, this, some people believe the God of the 39, the God of the Old Testament repented. Grace now found, God now found grace. So in the four Gospels, God now changed. There's some people out there that believe. Are you like people say, if it were in those days, God would have struck you, but thank God for grace. Was there no grace then? Eh? Was there no grace then? Did God change? How did God change you? And that same people, you now find distortion in their theology. God has repented. Then you're not saying God is changeable God, God is changeable God. If you understand the imbalance, unchangeable God, unchangeable God, unchangeable God. But yes, he said he repented. No, your theology, I don't know, is one nasty word. Like your theology is, you know, your theology is not cooked well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go with the God. Glory to God. So, you find the word destroy the Amalekite from the surface of the earth. Question is it God who spoke? I love the way I ask this question. I have tried to paraphrase this question, but I couldn't. But let me just have it down. Let's have it down. Question is, was it God who spoke? And what was God communicating? I will wipe out God. Is that not interesting? Before we get to answer this question, we have to look at some things first. Remember we say the four Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's the synoptic. The four Gospels is an explanation, right, of the God of the Old Testament. Take it for this class. It's an explanation. We'll yet see that soon, especially tomorrow. From tomorrow, we'll get to look at those things little by little again. Now, if that be the case, then that means if that incarnation is, remember we said incarnation is God in man, God, right? God in man, God's plan, God in man, God's plan manifested in the flesh, right? Right? The message in the flesh, right? So that means I will have to find it in the synoptic either in Jesus' words or action that God kills. Hallelujah. Because it's not wipe out. Wipe out means he will kill you. Abi? But did you find that in Jesus? Did Jesus ever kill? Did he ever say any words that imply he will kill people? That God will kill people? No. Rather, what do we now see? We now saw a God. Or we now saw God who died in the hands of men. That is theology. That is theology. God killed no man. Men killed God. How about that for theology? Men killed God. Hallelujah. It's theology. So that means Jesus. You have a God who was killed in the hands, who died in the hands of men. Don't try to reason with your head. That is it. Hallelujah. To show you that God doesn't kill, it is man that kills. Are you following me? It's man that kills. Glory to God. What about when a man sleeps and doesn't wake up? Was it God that called him home? We'll get to answer that subsequently in this series. Hallelujah. But we'll get to answer that subsequently in this series, but not in this particular series one. Hallelujah. So remember I said some things last week too. I said we'll get to answer as we go back on in this series. Hallelujah. But eventually, when someone is sick and died, does it God that called the person home? One bright morning, when this world is over, I'll fly away. Interesting, right? But was it God? Does God do that? Well, you won't find that in the four Gospels. You won't find that in the Epistle that God does that. So therefore, it's not God. So what happened? What is the process like? What happened? We'll get to see. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So, quickly, when I find our God died in the hands of men to show you that it's man that kills. So, when you know, and you remember, whatever you find in the action and words of Jesus, also in the epistles, are explanations. Right? So that means all through the 39 books, if I read well, I would see that God doesn't kill. Remember I said if I read well. Share you guys. If I read well, I will see that God doesn't kill. In fact, the first mention of death that someone died in scripture, as in fall down and die, who killed the person? It was Cain. Hallelujah. It was Cain. So Cain did. Genesis 4, right? Cain killed Abel. Did you see that? Cain killed Abel. That is evil over good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Evil over good. Cain killed Abel. Hallelujah. Are you following me? That will not be a type of the fact that men kill Christ because Abel is a prophet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the very fact that men killed God. Interesting. Right? Interesting. We have to watch what you say. Now don't stone, but is that the truth? Hallelujah. The fact that men killed God will tell you that God is not involved in the death of people. So that means if I go through the 39 books, I will find a theology, or I'll find theology explained that way from Moses to the prophet down to Christ into the epistles. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So we'll begin to look at that as we progress to answering some questions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Ezekiel 18, before we get to answer that question of Exodus 17, Ezekiel 18, verse 23. Now I'm still having serious thoughts. On Thursday and Friday, what should we be teaching? Should we be teaching God's plan or understanding God? You get to know by Wednesday. Hallelujah. Amen. I have those two teachings. Glory to God. We still have another public holiday, June 15th and 16th. Yes. Hallelujah. So we have June 12th. We have June 15th. So yes, that June 12th will be stretched. It's
are you okay? Do you know was it not only 29 before? Now move to June 12. Are you born again? Are you this country? When we went to hear things, to read this out of your brain.
Don't come and spoil my holiday when I'm planning 10 hours. This weekend, you are out of the Monday now. They are not happy. So I've decided maybe we take a time to go to that I'll have ample time to have a lot of teaching. Hallelujah. Makes sense. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
When are we going to rest?
See, we change this volume, you know? Hallelujah. It's a lot of our life. Amen.
Amen.
So let's continue. Where were we? Okay, Ezekiel 18. Interesting.
I'm asking, once we have a game in July and August, you know, and we just running it out. See how said I can teach. See how forgiveness of sins to teach. See how concept of sin to teach. See how men tell it all. Are you not happy? Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. 18 verses 23. Are you in 23? Look at this. It says, Do I have pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord, and not that they should turn from his ways and live? But when the righteous man turns from his unrighteousness and commits iniquity, and does according to all the abomination that the wicked man does, shall he live? Unrighteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed because of them he shall die. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, it is not my way which is fair, and your way which are not fair. We are reading down to
32.
Let me down 32. It says, when a righteous man turns from his iniquities, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he had done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns from his wickedness and he has committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Are you following me? Then we rush down to verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies. Do you get it? Both the man who does righteous, does mark that word does righteous, and start doing iniquity, and the man who does iniquity and start doing righteous. Are you following me? Hallelujah. He says, I have no pleasure in the one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. Are you following me? Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you see that? So, the prophet Ezekiel is prophesying from the same Exodus 17. You know, his prophecy will come from Genesis to Deuteronomy. So he's prophesying from the same books. And he says, God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked sinner. Look at Exodus 33:11. Ezekiel 33:11. Sorry. That should not be Exodus. Ezekiel 33:11. Look at what he says there. He says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Did you see that? So he said, God has no pleasure. Now that word pleasure, listen, God has no pleasure in the death of the sinner. That word pleasure in the Hebrew is the word hapes. H-A-P-E-S, hapes in the Hebrew, is used for a strong desire. I have no strong desire in the death of the sinner. It's used for a strong desire. So in Ezekiel 33:11 shows us God's desire is for the sinner to repent and turn from his evil ways. Did you see that? For the sinner to repent, that is to turn from his evil ways. Hallelujah. This will be Christ's work. Hope you know that. Hallelujah, this will be Christ's work. And we will see that shortly. It will be Christ's work. So right from the prophet in the Old Testament, they speak of God's desire, which is for sinners to repent and be forgiven. For them to repent and be forgiven. This is God's desire. This is God's desire. Hallelujah. Luke 24, verse 49. Look at something there. I'll show you that. It says, 46 into 47. And thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ of Andrew raised from the dead the second, and the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin be preached in his name to all nations living at Jerusalem. So that is Jesus' work. That is Christ's work. Repentance. Are you following me? So God's desire is for man to be saved. Hallelujah. This is God's desire. Our God is a loving God. He takes no pleasure in death of sinners. Are you following me? So God has said he doesn't take pleasure, meaning he doesn't desire that for a sinner to die. So when a believer starts praying and says, oh God, kill my enemies. Oh God, kill my enemies. Kill them. You are praying amiss. In fact, you are a tempter. Because you are forcing God to do that which he doesn't do. What is temptation? A pressure to do that which one doesn't do. You are pressuring him to do what he can never do. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Paul will now write in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, say, let us not tempt God. Did you see that? So don't pressure him to do that which he doesn't do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when a believer begins to pray, oh God, keep my enemies, he is acting beside himself. Because God is a loving God. Our God is love. Hallelujah. He's not a killer. Hallelujah. He's not a killer. He's a God who forgives. Who forgives. God forgives. Not the one who destroys. Hallelujah. So, are we going to find this in the scriptures, even for Moses, that God doesn't kill? God actually is a loving God. Yes, we can. Are you following me? Yes, we can. Exodus 20. Verse 5. Are you there? Hallelujah. So what he says in verse 5, he says, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. I'm a passionate God. He says, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Hallelujah. That word visiting is the word pakad in the Hebrew. Pakad in the Hebrew. Moses uses this word, you know, we are reading Moses' writing. So Moses uses this word not for destruction. Then say, you know who God is? God visits the iniquities of your father upon the third and fourth generation. Do you know what is wrong? What is going on with you? It's because of the foundational problem. You've not dealt with the foundational problem. There's a foundational problem. You know the reason why you write exam and you get the exam hall, you forget what you read most times? It's because of the things your fathers have done. God is visiting it upon you. For exam, inside exam. Did you get it? Is that not funny? Hallelujah. But God is not that way. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Have you dealt with foundational problems? This is why sometimes someone gave another person a prophecy. When you want to take your bait and you carry the soap, whenever you want to use the soap to take your bait, the soap used to fall down and slip out of your hand. He said, yes, sir. He said, can I prophesy? The reason why the soap used to fall down is because of a foundational issue that has affected. The reason why that soap is falling down, you see, is because that foundational issue, if you ask your father, your grandfather, is something that is happening generationally. And that is why things are not working out well for you. That's why you have problems. You know what? Go and bring your salary. That's why you to pass the salary. Came to give to prophet. When person came to me, I said, even my soap used to fall down. Even the prophet is full. So, going back to soap, where your hand is there, doesn't it fall? Say, why are you that gullible? Say, it's a foundational problem. It needs to happen. Give yourself brain. Hallelujah. Does your hand have friction to hold the soap? It will slip off me. I don't know how people don't think. Most of it depends on the kind of school you went to. No, I didn't plan to yell. I didn't plan. You are not in my plan. You're not in my logos. Amen. If I had said novena, it would have come from my heart of God. By then, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you go to 22? My program. God bless. Okay, let's continue. So it's used differently by Moses. Moses doesn't use it to fight against. Do you understand? No. Moses is different. Look at Genesis 21:1. Talking about God visiting, and the Lord visited Sarah, and he had said, the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For she conceived and bore Abraham a son. That's the word pakad. So when the Lord visited Sarah, Sarah conceived. In chapter 39, we're looking at how Moses used it. It's Genesis 39. From verse 4 to 5. Wow. Genesis 39. Okay. From verse 4 to 5, it says, then Joseph found favor in his sight. And served him. The man made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from that time that he made him the overseer of his house and all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all he had in the house and in the field. So it says, and the Lord blessed the Egyptians' house. That is the word. Hallelujah. And the Lord blessed the Egyptians' house. So you saw how the house of the Egyptians was blessed because of Joseph. The Lord visited. That's what it means. So you saw blessing. Do you understand me? In chapter 41, chapter 41, verse 34. So let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7th year, in the 7 years of plenty. That is the word to appoint. Let him appoint. Is this for help given to Joseph? I mean, given to this for help there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Am I reading the right thing? I'm asking us. Okay. Now, it's used for help. Hallelujah. Chapter 50, verse 24. Verse 24, he says, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but Lord will visit you and bring you out of the land of which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did you see that?
Hallelujah.
And in Exodus 13:19, it was repeated again. Did you see that? He will surely visit you, and it's used for deliverance. Did you see that? It's used for what? Deliverance. How the Lord will deliver Israel out of the hands of the Egyptians. Hallelujah. Exodus 30 now. Exodus 30 verse 12. Exodus 30 verse 12. When you shall take census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom. You see that? Every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord. When you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that word is used for what? In relation to ransom and deliverance. Hallelujah. Like the word ransom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So give a ransom for himself. So here, God isn't speaking of remembering their sins. The way Moses writes, use the word pakah. The way Moses uses the word pakah, he uses it so that you see that it's not God remembering their sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But rather, it's speaking of what? Deliverance, redemption in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Visiting the iniquity, meaning God is going to deal with iniquity. You sure you understand me? God will deal with iniquity. So speaking of salvation, so God's visiting is salvation. God's visiting is the incarnation, which is what? Salvation. They are blotting away of iniquity. He will repeat it again in Deuteronomy 14, 18 to 21. Deuteronomy 14. 18 into 21. Look at what it says. It says, and the stock, the heron after its kind, and what am I reading? A second. Huh? What? Sorry, thank you. Yeah, number 14. Sorry. I'm wondering. Who did I read this part right now?
In the spirit.
Number 14, thank you. 15. It says, the Lord is long suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving the iniquities and transgressions, but by no means clears the guilt, visiting the iniquities of the father on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of these people, I pray, according to your greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven these people from Egypt up until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. As surely, truly as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Would that be the glory of the Lord? Would that mean the whole earth will be filled with the pardon of the Lord? Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what God does is the forgiveness of sin. And not carrying over of iniquity. It's not your lecturer that will carry over iniquity. Hallelujah. Carry over cost. No. So Moses shows us that God is a God of love. Hallelujah. God is a God of love. Just give me a minute. Let me check something. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:27. God is a God of love. 27 to 31. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I will show the house of Israel, the house of Judah, with the seed of man and the seed of the beast. He says, and it will come to pass that as I have watched over them to plug up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the father have eaten grapes, and the children's teeth are set on the edge. For everyone who died, everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Everyone who eats the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on the edge. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers, when I took them in hand and led them out of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, as though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Okay, say, for this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. And after those they said, the Lord, I'll put my laws in their minds, I'll put it on their heart. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall anyone teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, say, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and their sin I will remember no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is a God of love. He forgives sins in redemption. Hallelujah. 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 He will forgive sins in redemption. And also, it doesn't mean that sin will not be punished. We'll study that in another series. Sins will be punished. Hallelujah. Sins will be what? Punished. When we get to talk about the wrath of God, we'll get to see that. That is another series, not this one. Hallelujah. So, God will forgive sins, and yet, sin will receive a punishment. We'll receive his punishment. Hallelujah. That's what God does. That's what God has done. Hallelujah. Sin is punished. What happened when Adam and Eve sinned? They left the garden of the Lord. What happened when Cain sinned? He was driven out. Right? So sin will be punished. Hallelujah. Sin will be punished. We'll get to treat that some other time. So Jesus in the four gospels taught and made us see that God is a God. Is a God of love. He's a God of love. Glory to God. So when I get to that Exodus where we left, you will now see that it was not actually God is when Exodus 17, when he said, I'll utterly destroy the Amalekites from the surface of the earth. You have to read well. Hallelujah. If you say, God will look. It's not God that will. Are you following me? It's not God that will. In fact, God's name is mentioned. Is God speaking ahead of time of what will happen to the Amalekites? Do you understand? God is speaking ahead of time what will happen to that nation, the Amalekites. But when he says, I will, because of the fact that Israel was involved. So when you now have to read Samuel to see that it was actually Saul that totally destroyed them, that dealt with them. Are you following me? Did it happen? It happened. Was it God? No, it was man. It was not God. Are you following me? It's not God. God's role is salvation. Are you following me? Are you following me? God's role is salvation. God is a loving God. God is a loving God. So, in the incarnation, the synoptic is the story of God's love. You can put that together. The four gospels or the incarnation is the story of God's love. All you put is the story is God's story explained in his law. You find God's love, because that is who God is. God's love for men to save men. That is the word became flesh. The word became flesh is God's love to save men. Hallelujah. It's the story of God's love to save man. It's God's love to save man. Hallelujah.
Look at this young man. You took your Bible and give us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we read the incarnation, God became a man. It's God's love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's God's love for men to save men. John 3:16 is God's love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God's love is demonstrated in God being a man. In God becoming a man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when it says that he gave, because God's love, the word that he gave implies he gave to die. Jesus, do you understand? He gave to die. So that is God's love demonstrated. And we find it also in Jesus' action. Look at John 8. In John 8, from verse 7, we have that today who can call his sister. More, we have that adulteress. John 8:7. He says, and he also said to them, asking him, he says, he raised up his hand as if and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Hallelujah. He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Glory to God. So an adulteress who was about to be condemned was brought to Jesus because of her sinful ways, but Jesus didn't condemn her. The very act of Jesus shows that God doesn't condemn a sinner. Do you see that? Hallelujah. God doesn't condemn a sinner, but that he wants them to come to repentance. So also is the brother on the cross. Is a proof of God's love. Hope you know that. Right? That guy on the cross is a proof of God's love. Luke will put it this way. In Luke 5, verse 32. Jesus, rather. Luke writes the words of Jesus. He says, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. So he has come to call sinners to repentance. When he said, I have not come to call the righteous, remember who he was referring to? When he called the righteous, he was referring to self-righteousness, referring to the Pharisees. So he just like this. Maybe this guy is a Pharisee, this one is a sinner. You know, the Pharisee had that dichotomy. That dichotomy, they are the holy ones. So they behave and act holy when they are not. So Jesus does this. I have not come to call the righteous. Did you see? I have not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. Are you following me? So Jesus is not saying, no, it's referring to self-righteousness here. Amen. Sinners to repentance. So in the epistle, God also is explained to us as the God of love. Woo! God is explained to us as the God of love. John, 1 John, quickly. 1 John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From verse 5. Are you there? Glory to God. Oh, 1 John. Let's look at 1 John 4 first, then we'll get to 5. 1 John 4. From verse 7. He said, beloved, let us love one another. Say, for love is of God. And anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Did you see that? Hallelujah. God is love. So this is God explaining to us, God is love. God is love. Romans 5. Verse 8. He said, for God demonstrates his love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for our sins. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Christ died for our sins. I will end this series in such a way that if you look and see if we are picking up a certain part of it when we start discussing the new creation and its relationship. It's something you need to get. Hallelujah. That is how I plan to end the book.
Never knew that this part has fallen
away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me write my name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's go back to that 1 John. God is love. 1 John. So in that God demonstrated love to us. Now while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God is explained to us as love. Do you get it? No. So when since God is love, so when the scripture can say walk in love, remember I said it means walk in the spirit is walk in love, right? Right? So when scriptures now says you should love God, there's no other way you can love God when you, do you understand me? You know, you cannot express love to God. I hope you know that. Love to God is not expressed in words, but expressed in our actions. Are you following me? So John will now write that and say, okay, we now mirror God's love in our action to other brethren. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Remember I said it's something we'll pick up from the new creation and its relationships. Hallelujah. I'm taking that as a name for now, but it's something we get to see, the believer's relationship, something along that line. That is what it will be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then John will now put it this way in 1 John 5. He said, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also love him who is begotten of him. By this we know, okay, look at verses 3. See, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandment are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the creature that has overcome the world, our faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sorry. Verses 12 of 1 John 4. Don't mind me. It says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Did you see that? So we now mirror that in our relationships. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look at how John now writes it in verses 10. He says, God is love, in this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loves us, we ought to love one another. Did you see that? It's now shown in our relationship. Glory to God. Now shown in our relationship. So God is love. Are you following me? God is love. God is love. So God is revealed to us as love. Right? Hallelujah. The God that loves, not the killer, not the one who comes to kill or to hold. Some people mirror I don't know how to put it, but you know, some people see God in that light. Right? The destroyer that cannot be destroyed, something like that. Some people still believe God has a death angel somewhere, has a destroyer somewhere. No! In fact, when you read that and you hear the word, I will pass over them. That will pass over them. When it says, the door on the lintel, when I say, you know, we sing that for song. When I will pass over you, when I see the blood. I will pass. So God is coming. So God was the one that went around Egypt that night, was killing all the firstborn. What about that for theology, you know? For killing all the firstborn. So when he sees blood, so God now needs blood to pass. No. Are you following? God now sees blood. God will now jump. Piang. This one has blood. This one has blood. This is the blood of Jesus. Lick the blood and jump. No! It's not a dry cooler. No, that perception is true. It's too me. No, God doesn't have any. So when you say I will pass, it means I will stop evil. Did you see that? Hallelujah. I will stop evil. That's what God does. God wasn't the one that killed those children that night. No! But what did he do? Remember, you'll find in God's intervention. Which is, if you will find God's intervention in Genesis to Malachi, you'll find him as a protector. Hallelujah. He protects, he defends, he delivers. Hallelujah. You'll find him as a deliverer, and you'll find all that in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, so in that face of that, in the face of that, what does he do? I will stop that word. I will pass. So how do you eventually have it? A discussion about that yesterday night. Hallelujah. I will pass, means I will stop evil from happening. Glory to God. So what God did that night was to stop evil from happening to the what? Israelites. Did you get that? Oh, what did that night? If not, you have killed rampage on all of them. But I will stop. Are you following me? I will stop. So God has got nothing called destroyer. No! No! Then why would Moses write that? Moses will write that for you to see that is unbelief. What unbelief does. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So that means the destroyer is not from God. God is speaking, when he says the destroyer, God is speaking of something that would happen, a danger that is about to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something like a pandemic. Something like that. Hallelujah. And God says, I will stop evil. That is what God does in the face of pandemic. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. I will stop it from happening. I'll stop it from getting to you. So you always find that, and you always find God as the deliverer, the savior. Hallelujah. Defender, protector. Amen. 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 Glory to God. You know, these are many more that they saw God. These are many more. Or what made them call God by different names. Hope you know that. Glory to God. Right, they gave him those names based on what they've seen him do. Hallelujah. What they've seen him do. So you can put it like this. They gave him those names born out of the revelation of God that they've seen. Do you get it? Hallelujah. 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 So he's called the El Shaddai. El Shaddai, the double-breasted one. Hallelujah. Are you following me? El Shaddai, the strong and the blessed one, because of what they've seen is born out of their revelation. Hallelujah. It's called Jehovah Jireh. That is Genesis 22. Jehovah Jireh. We'll explore this much more in. I'm kind of doing more or less like what we'll begin to start seeing again from tomorrow. Just on the surface. Look at Genesis 22 quickly. Are you there? Verse 8. Abraham and Isaac were going on a teaching meeting. What we know it was a teaching meeting. Was not God testing Abraham? God wanted to test you. So sometimes some things that happen to you because God is testing your faith. Oh yeah. God wants to see if you will remain. So really, God Almighty, He would know. Hallelujah. Are you following me? God doesn't need to test your faith to know whether you are saved. You are saved in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. God doesn't need to test your faith. No. You know, if you say it like that, like God was trying to test you, say that means God is, how do they call this
set of people that are? How do they call this set of people? The power of a God who is,
that one that God was testing is look at him, God was being insecure.
Is he insecure? No. Like if God is dragging with somebody, dragging with Satan, something like that. No. There's no drag. You know? You must learn to understand the fact that you can't weigh God and Satan on the same scale. Never. They are not force. They are not a. How should I call it? They're not what an opposite. No. Amen. You can't. Go with the God. You can't. So, you know, when you say God tested Abraham, test for what? You know, that everyone to see if his faith will stand. Does God need to test it to see if his faith will stand? Do you get? No. Then that is why you don't have to, because that man that says uses that word test like that is using today's language to explain the language of their day. Sure, you know that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're actually reading your language, your today's language, your language of your day. So you have to find out what that word test means in their language to know whether. So it was actually a teaching meeting. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God was taking Abraham for a teaching walk with Isaac. Hallelujah. So they had a teaching meeting. Abraham knew what he was going there to do. Abraham was not in the dark of what was going to do. He knew he was going there, he was going to teach. When he was asked, what did he tell the servant that he was going to do? Say, we and the lad will go ahead to do what? Worship. Do you get that? So they are going ahead to worship. So he knew what he was going there to do. Now the son has to have everything. Where is the lamb? How did they get to that point? Where is the lamb? That means must have been teaching him. Hallelujah. So then, therefore, where is the sacrifice? He then says, the Lord. Did you see that? So that you will find within what Moses writes, you will find what I will call a shorthand of Moses' writing. Hallelujah. So you have to read Moses' book together to understand what Moses was saying. Hallelujah. It was a shorthand. So you now find the Lord will provide. Imagine that for an answer. The Lord will provide. Where is the sacrifice? Hallelujah. Where is the sacrifice? The Lord will provide. Do you get? So he tells that he doesn't teach it class. So he's telling him the Lord will provide. And what happened when he got there? Like Moses would teach. Right? Abraham will not demonstrate with Isaac. This is how it will happen. Was it thinking fast? Or were you thinking Abraham was going to just strike him? Pia! You know the way the Bible book now, or yellow book, you know the yellow book, hallelujah for you. It makes us see it is the father as he was just about to hit me. Abraham! Abraham! Stop! Stop! Turn to your right! There is a lamb! Know what happened. Abraham has told the Lord, the Lord will provide. Are you following me? Are you following me? Hallelujah. So that lamb was the eventual worship that they now had, and they left because sacrifice is for worship. Are you following me? But it was a teaching class. So you thought Abraham was going to hit him? No, no. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, when he said that, the Lord will provide, the Lord himself will provide. That's the word Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Jireh. It actually Jireh Yahweh, which is Yahweh without vowel. Jireh Yahweh. How about that for a name? Just M without vowel. So the vowels were put in there by different people. So some people call it Yahuwah Yahushua. I mean Yahuwah Yahweh. Those are put in vowels, but it's actually YHWH. YWH means YHWH. Hallelujah. I want them for your name. Hallelujah. Say the Lord will say, we'll provide. So that's why we have the word Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. So many times, you find God called a name based on the revelation that they have concerning God. Hallelujah. Based on the revelation that they have concerning God. Now remember, I think this in the last time we took this, that's human experience. You see, I've retracted it. I guess that was on my notes, no. Because I've got to tear that part and be right. Hallelujah. Right? Right? So it's more like an expanded study now. Can you see? Glory to God. So now, what I wanted you to see is all those names, which, because I've missed it in this teaching, I will bring it up somehow in our next teaching, which is not necessary. Faith and faith will be part of what I will teach as another teacher. Jonathan, I will just bring it in, and I will see it again in the relationship. But there's something you need to see. Remember, those revelations will find their fulfillment where? In the person of Christ. So the fullness of all those names. Remember, they saw and they spoke in beats in different points. Hallelujah. So those names, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Nissi, Jireh, all of them, Shama, El Shaddai, find their fulfillment. You're all not so. You'll find all those fulfillments in that name, Yahweh, which will now became flesh. We'll see all that tomorrow. Hallelujah. Which now became flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I follow you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that will now be Christ. That will now be Christ, the incarnation. Now, in the incarnation, something that Jesus shows us, which will now form who God is to us. Because God in the New Testament and Ephesians. Hallelujah. So because in the New Testament the Ephesians, remember, God is revealed in Christ. Hallelujah. This is God is revealed in Christ. So the revelation, we no longer have personal revelation for the name of God. Amen. Amen. It's something that I will get find time to teach us more about. Hallelujah. Something we'll find time to teach us about. We no longer have personal revelation for God. We say God is your man la. A lady mask. A bojigiki. The same name that you find them called Amadua. don't go. Hope you know that. Same thing. So what happened? Because people think you still can have personal revelation for God to give him a name. And which is wrong. Are you following me? Eh? Glory to God. It was accepted in those days. But you know, the fulfillment of it is in Christ. The revelation of God is found in Christ. Christ didn't come to tell us God is Jehovah Shammah. Did this year call Jehovah Shammah? Jehovah Nissi? Jehovah Elohim? Jehovah? No! Hallelujah! He didn't say that. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Because he is the fullness of all those names. Hallelujah. When you say Jehovah Jireh, who is the provider? Who did God provide? Christ. Hallelujah. When you say he's the double-breasted one, he's found in Christ. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I wouldn't want to do this in this class, but I'll just give you a glimpse of it. Now, when you don't say Elohim, it's not a name reserved for God alone. Elohim, Eloha. So we call it man of Elohim. M-O-E. E-O-A. S-O-E. It's not a name reserved for God. It's a name given to people in high places. But it's a name given to gods. Amen. Name given to gods. Name given to rulers. People in high places. Hallelujah. Which includes the gods. And it was also called for God. So it's not a name reserved for God alone. Are you following me? Are you following me? Aha. Uh-huh. It's just like what you now.
Can you remember the Greek word for that? So is it true? You know,
Hallelujah. Amen. So, now. I'm not supposed to get to this, but not part of the news. Not part of what it's about. Now, personal revelation for names ended in Christ. That's what I'm trying to let you know. Because God is now revealed in Christ. Hallelujah. And remember I would say, God is revealed in Christ, right? Right? Christ reveals who God is to us. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you observed that Jesus never said, called God, God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for himself? He uses it when talking to the multitude. Right? He never uses it for himself. He uses it because so that to identify with them. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Amen. He never uses it for himself. No. What does it reveal the Father? I mean, what does it reveal God to us as? That is something new. And that is how God needed to be seen, or God he needed to be seen from Genesis. Are you following me? Are you following me? So every act you see him called, provider this, that is because of who Jesus has revealed him to for us. That is why he can be called the double-breasted one. He can be called the Jireh. He can be called the Shammah. Hallelujah. So who did he reveal God to us as? Are you following me? Who did he? Look at John. Never would you see Jesus call God Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh. No. We'll run through this by tomorrow. Amen. I'll try and do that either tomorrow or next week, Sunday. But look at John 8, verse 28. It says, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. We'll look at this word too. I am He. And what I do, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me these things, as my father. He reasoned to us as the father. Let's go ahead. Let's look at something else. Verses 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We were not born of fornicator or fornication. We have one father, God. Did you see that? Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you have loved me. For I proceed forth and came forth from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something else to look at, where we have that concentration of the word Father, is from John 13 into 17. But I will just dwell in John 14 for us to see. Verse 6, he says, Jesus is speaking, or sorry, from verses 1. So let your heart not be troubled. You believe God, believe in me also. And I says, in my Father's house. Did you see that? In my Father's house. You find that in verse 2, in verse 6. He says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You see that? So when you use the word come, we've done this study here. The word come means an arrival point. Hallelujah. No one gets to the Father. It's like it's an arrival point. Hallelujah. No one gets to the Father except by me. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the access to the Father. Are you following me? Jesus is the access to the Father. No one gets to the Father by me. If you have known me, you have known my Father. Jesus reveals the Father to us. He reveals God as the Father to us. Hallelujah. For now you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? Hallelujah. He says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So from now you say, how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The word which I speak to you does not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Did you see that? So Jesus reveals God to us as the Father. Take note, Jesus didn't say, I am the Father. Mark these words very well. Jesus didn't say, he is the Father. He reveals the Father to us. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. I want you to see that very well. It says verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. Verse 16, then I will pray the Father, and will give you another helper. I will pray the Father. Verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Oh, you know, that's, I once said something wrong around this line years back. So, that was last year. So, when I said, Jesus is God, Jesus is the Father, I said, no. No. He came to John 14. I was smiling. The guy now said, Jesus said, him and the Father, they are one. So he's the Father. I said that. You remember, he also says, I in you and you in me. Are you Jesus? Did you see that? No matter how you try to talk about your believer identity, you can't say you are Christ. Did you say, you can't say you are the Christ. Can you say that? Are you Jesus? Because you cannot say you are Jesus. You must understand, this is, we'll get to explore that word in my Father's house. So it talks about, you know, that's the word in the Hebrew, Ikar. When you say, Yeah, O Israel, you say, the Lord your God is one, Ikar. That is, they are in union. You know, Paul will now repeat that word in his writing to the Corinth. He says, "No, the Lord your God is one." That talks about a union. I believe it. A union. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So, Jesus reveals the Father to us. Look at something else in the resurrection. Look at in the resurrection, John 20. There are some other texts we should have seen, but let's go to John 20, verse 16. Jesus said to Mary, Jesus turned and said to her, "Mary," and she turned to him and said, "Rabboni," that is to say, "Teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me." Do not cling to me any further, you know. "For I have not yet ascended to my Father." Did you see? "I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go tell my brethren that I am ascending to my Father and what?" This is the first time, you know, this is the first time he's calling God their Father. Did you see that? "I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your." So, look at that. So, Jesus reveals the Father to us. So, I wanted to get this. So, what Jesus shows us is that relationship. Are you following me? That relationship. God is a relationship God. Are you hearing me? God is a relationship God. "I have sent to my Father and your Father." So meaning in the new birth, we are born into relationship. We are born into family. Did you get that? In my Father's oikia, we are now, I want you to see that. In my Father's family. My Father and your Father, meaning we are now in the family of God in the new birth. So where God is our Father, then who are we? Sons. So can you see why the epistles, we now take it off from there, we now refer to us as sons. Are you following me? We now refer to us as sons. I want you to see that. Can we read this into the Old Testament? We can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We now refer to us as what? Sons. Amen. 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 As sons. Very important. So many in the new birth, we are sons. Sons. Let's look at something. Romans. And this is where we'll round up and then.
It will be more or less like an introduction to what we're going to later teach. But though I didn't go into it elaborately, I'm going to look at it. As soon as I get my notes, we're going to get to look at it again in our teachings tomorrow into next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So just remind me, in case I forget. Romans 8. Are you there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will read one verse. He said, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh." Remember, he has said something in verse 9. He says, "If indeed we are in the spirit." He said, I mean, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, because the spirit of God dwells in you. He now says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put out there the deeds of the body, you will live. So as many as are led, that word led is the word ago in the Greek, to be born from above. That's what it means, to come from above, to be born from above, one, to be born off. That's the word ago. It talks about the new birth. As many as are not... as many as are led, it talks about the new birth. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Right? So where do you pick that from? Verse 9, right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, say, are the sons of God. Do you see that? Are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, are the sons of God. Do you see? Identification. Are the sons of God. Meaning in the new birth, we are called sons.
He is the Father. We are sons. Hallelujah. So that word son is the word heals. Heals. And then I live as the sons of God. When you talk about, when you hear the word heals, it has a shade in the Hebrew bed. Hallelujah. One who carries the Father's legacy. This is that one who lifts up the Father's legacy. Are you following me? Heals is actually used for a son with inheritance. A son with an inheritance. I remember our inheritance is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So sons with an inheritance. Hallelujah. Living up the Father's legacy in the earth. Are you following me? Living the Father's legacy in the earth. The Father's legacy. Glory to God. It says, for we do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A word that we should have originally explored in my notes, we'll explore that later. Hallelujah. Abba, Father. By which we cry out, Abba, Father. It says, the Spirit said, bear witness, our spirit, that we are children of God. When you use the word children, the word technon, meaning we are legal children of God. Hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost in us. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Let's begin to round up from here. So we take it off. Hallelujah. Let's begin to round up from here. Glory to God. And that says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Let's look at Galatians 5, verse 18. Galatians 5. Verse 18. It says, but if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ooh, glory. Yeah, I'm a fool. Verses 6-7. Verses 6-7. Let's look at that. It says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit. The spirit of his son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are sons. Hallelujah. Because of the Holy Ghost in us. Hallelujah. That is food there. Hallelujah. Because we are sons. Hallelujah. The spirit of God is in our heart. Glory to God. Glory to God. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Say, I'm a son. I'm a son. You know, it's part of your believer's confession. I'm a son. Hallelujah. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So you see, God is revealed to us. We'll explore this shortly. Not in this teaching, but in another teaching. Hallelujah. God is revealed to us. Not in names, in multitude of names. Let me use that word for now. Hallelujah. It's not revealed to us as Eledumare. It's not revealed to us as Timneke. No. It's not revealed to us as Tribudo. It's not revealed to us as Equeme. Though it's descriptive of what God has done, He spoke, that is, He gave the promise and fulfilled. That is Equeme. I'm defending it. You have to catch me, you can't, you know? Hallelujah. It's not revealed to us as. Thank you. Hallelujah. Not revealed to us in names. No. We stick to the revelation in Christ. Hallelujah. Because you know what? With different all the names you call him with, apart from what Christ has revealed him to us as, you find other gods bearing those names. I hear it. But Shaku said there was a time they went out for a meeting somewhere in one of the coasts, one of these, I don't know whether it's African coast or within Nigeria, one of these villages and towns. So when they went there, they now heard some of the songs they sang in church. They were singing, they were hearing those names in the praise they gave to their foreign gods. You know? Hey, Pastor. In quotes, I don't know what I'm doing. I think I'm right. Pastor. They are calling the name of God here. His God they are calling. Say no. They're not actually calling it like they are copying the name of God for this. No, it's not actually they copying it, is me. Hallelujah. Christians who have converted, and you know, you could trace that to some of these missionaries, and they did it for a reason. Then it could survive because of God's permissive, according to EW. I mean, Kenny Hagin will say God's permissive will. Do you understand me? As at when they were here, so they borrowed those words to be able to explain to God, to them, who God is. But those guys, when they converted, they now took those words into Christianity, but not originally Christian words. The names that they call their Shango, their Madoha, their, how is it Shango? Their Ogu. And names like that. Do you understand me? Those are names. Minority group in Nigeria. What is the name of the gods? Hallelujah.
I know minority. They are minority. That's what it means.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it's a name that they went with their God. For you know, God is revealed to us as Father. Hallelujah. He's revealed to me as Father. Revealed to you as Father. So he's our Father. Hallelujah. God is our Father. You know, it's part of our believer's confession. God is my Father. Hallelujah. God is my Father. We go through the epistles. He's called the Father. Hallelujah. He's called who? The Father. Let's be on our feet. I call you Father.